Warner Cunningham the
III. He's going to be a senator by the time he's 30. What the fuck?
Yeah.
This is the type of girl that Warner wants to marry. A law student. Going to Harvard is the only way I'm going to get the love of my life back.
For my admissions essay, action. I'm going to tell all of you why I'm going to make an amazing lawyer. I feel comfortable using legal jargon in everyday life. I object.
Her list of extracurricular activities is impressive.
She was in a Ricky Martin video.
Aren't we always looking for diversity?
Welcome to Harvard.
Don't be scared. Everyone will love you.
Elle? I'm sorry, are you here to see me?
I go here.
You got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard?
Reese Witherspoon.
Do you remember when we spent those 4 amazing hours in the hot tub after winter formal? This is so much better than that.
Legally Blonde.
Oh, look how cute. There's like a judge in everything.
Not for Elle.
Welcome to Show Me the Movies with Justin and Nick, a movie podcast hosted by lifelong cousins slash buddies that digs into movies that mean something to us and our guests. I'm Nick.
I am Justin.
And today we have a guest.
Hello, I'm Abby.
Awesome.
Wife of the show, Abby.
Yes.
My wife.
Wait, whose wife?
Specifically. Yeah. Oh, my wife.
Justin's wife. Okay, great. Cool.
Nice.
Awesome. So mommy and daddy are both here today.
Oh my God.
I am just along for the ride.
Yeah. He's a third wheel today.
Abby, what movie are we talking about today?
We're talking about the best movie ever made. Legally Blonde.
I can't wait. I'm pumped.
Me too.
So Legally Blonde, directed by Robert Luketic. Do you guys like know how to say his name?
No,
he's Australian.
I'm going to be honest, too. Like, I didn't even think to look up. Like, I don't even know who this is directed by. Like, who is this person?
Honestly, we'll get into it.
Okay.
I think that's a very fair question because I have thoughts about it.
Okay.
Starring Reese Witherspoon as Elle Woods, Luke Wilson as Emmett, Selma Blair as Vivian, Jennifer Coolidge as Paulette, best character in the movie, Osgood Perkins, the director of Long Legs, the supremely gross, messed up movie.
I knew that name sounded familiar.
As Dorky David. And Mooney the dog as Bruiser. We'll jump into a little bit of a plot synopsis here, but add anything that you guys want. So I wrote, after being dumped by her crappy, pretentious boyfriend, Elle Woods goes to Harvard Law School to prove she has what it takes to be a senator's wife. She finds a sort of calling to help others with her unconventional legal techniques. Anything to add?
I mean, I feel like within the first like 2 days she's at Harvard, she's like, wait, which I won't jump into this too much because I have so many thoughts on this. But like, I think she's quickly like, wait, this is actually super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And she loses focus on Warner, I feel, very quickly, which is
for
great.
Sure.
And then she's like, law is actually super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a fun aspect of the movie that she is like, by the end, you're like, wow, she truly actually does want to be a lawyer.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. I always write a synopsis too now, and mine's shorter than Nick's. And I said, a young woman's dreams are crushed when her boyfriend dumps her, leaving her to prove everyone in her life wrong about what they think she's capable of.
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
Love it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, box office. This was released in July of 2001. The budget was $18 million. The worldwide gross, any guesses?
I'm so bad at this because I don't even know what movies. Guys, I know nothing.
No,
I would just
it's
like
okay.
to say, I know nothing about movies. Okay, I'm a comfort movie rewatcher, as Justin yeah. calls me.
Honestly, that's kind of the point of this show.
Okay, great.
In a lot of ways.
So my guess is going to be 40,000 or 40 million.
Okay, yeah.
Good guess.
Okay, I was going to say 40,000. Yeah, it's a little low.
I meant to say million.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go high and say 120 million.
Worldwide gross, $142 million. So
okay,
this one was a banger as far
huge
as
banger.
The box office goes. So let's just get into it. Jump into the blender. The blender, Justin, a series of questions and superlatives to help us break down the movie into small morsels. So we always start with when, where, and how many times did you see this movie? Abby, we'll start with you.
So I was trying to think back about the first time that I saw this movie, and I honestly can't remember the first time, which is really sad because if you know me, you know that, like, anything I love, I make my whole personality. That's just the person that I am with, like, movies, books that I love. And so I'm sure that, like, I'm pretty positive I was in, like, fourth, fifth, or sixth grade. Somewhere in that range of time is when I saw it for the first time. And I think I was with my mom and my sister, because I feel like I remember them being like, you're old enough now to be able to watch Legally Blonde. And I was like, okay. And I just remember, like, I feel that my life changed that day. Like, it was like when that intro song comes on, I feel as if my soul leaves my body for a moment. And it's just like, again, like being someone who really, really just deeply loves things, this has been one of those things that has like stuck around with me through every single phase of my life. But yeah, After that, I really wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be the president of the United States. Now looking back, glad I didn't go down that route. But point being is
hey,
that
– hey, I don't know. We might be in a better place.
Well, true. But yeah, so I – because it's my favorite movie of all time, and I watch it when I have a bad day. I watch it, like, through the ups and downs of life. I have probably seen this movie – I mean – 80 plus times.
Dang.
I mean, there were seasons where I was watching this like 1 to 2 times a month. So
love it.
Yeah. So yeah.
Abby's like, I love you, Jesus, but also Legally Blonde.
I mean, Elle Woods might be my true Jesus. I'm
yeah.
Just kidding.
It's her savior.
Justin.
I saw this for the first time with Abby, probably like in college. Do you remember the first time we watched it together? Yeah. We actually didn't even talk about this. No, I feel like it took a long time because I think I knew for the longest time that this was your favorite movie, and it took forever. You were super chill about it. You weren't like, we have to watch this movie. I think sometime we just watched it, and it was good. Mm-hmm. Watched it again like 2 years ago, and then now for this podcast. So I've seen it like 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched it with Hannah. And I had to look back at my Letterboxd history, July 2021.
Nice.
So a few years ago this July, because we're recording in July as well. No, we're not.
Well,
it's June.
The podcast come out
30th.
July.
Oops. This last time was my most recent time. So I watched it with Hannah for the first time. I don't think Hannah has, like, you can count on one hand the amount of movies that Hannah really likes to rewatch. This is one that, like, she's like, oh, you've never seen Legally Blonde, we should watch it. It's mm-hmm. not like one that she's watched a million times, but it's one that she definitely likes. This was really fun to watch with her, and then watched it again for the pod. And I forgot how many good quotes there are in this movie.
So,
like,
many.
It's
probably the deepest quote movie we've done yet.
Yeah, I love that.
It's up there.
It's up there.
With The Social Network, I feel like that was a really good one. I was just on the IMDb today, like, just like scrolling down the quotes, because I was like, there's some ones I know that I'm missing and I got to find them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what feelings, other than entertained, did you feel while watching this movie? And Abby, you can take that as this time or as like just throughout your life. What are the emotions that this evokes?
Oh, man. Okay. So I have so many, but I'll try to not be too long-winded about this. So I feel like the first feeling that I get, which this one I feel like is a given for most people, probably especially if you're a woman, is inspired. Like, obviously, like, to me, this movie is so much about, like, that people are more than what we see at face value. Like, people have so much to offer, and sometimes we so quickly write people off because of how they look, how they act, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like, yes, there's, like, the women empowerment aspect of it, but also, like, at its core, which my favorite quote of all time, not to jump into quotes, but, like, the quote at the end when she's like, you know, like, you must always have faith in others, but most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself, which was my senior quote in high school, obviously.
Amazing.
When you say that, was that in the yearbook or like when you give the... Okay.
Yes.
I don't think my high school did senior quotes, and that makes me sad.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I don't think ours did either.
Oh, wow.
We did superlatives, But
yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even know if I remember doing any of those things because I was so out on high school. I was like, I don't care. Get me out of here.
Like, I'm not here. Yeah. Mentally, I'm not here.
Abby, anything else to add?
Yes.
oh, yes.
yeah. So, like, I think that the inspiration piece, there's, like, so many different parts to this because I think, like, for me, when I was younger, like, I was definitely a girl who struggled quite a bit with, like, my body image and how I looked and if I fit in. And I was really always worried, like, about that. And it's funny because I think some people might watch this movie and be like, oh, the hot person wins again, you know, uh-huh. like that kind of mentality. But I actually think, like, for me as a young woman watching this movie, I was like, I left that movie feeling like more confident in myself because I think what like Elle portrays is like this sense of like, again, like there we have like so much more to offer. Like we don't even know like the things we can do because if we don't try, we don't know. And so like I like felt really like confident about myself after like watching that movie because also like Elle is the kind of person that like even though she's a hot person, you know, she's like gonna like accept and love you no matter what and no matter who you are.
She's not a mean girl.
She is a girl's girl through and through.
And like, she could be a mean girl.
100%. I mean, she's like in a sorority. She's like fitting the bill to be this like awful.
She's the president of a sorority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have some notes about this too, but like she always like takes the high road. Like she, even when she's mean, she's not that mean. And you're like, wow, that's like, so I think like that, you leave that movie feeling like, I think the other emotion I wrote down was like giddy. Like there's definitely like a girlhood aspect to this movie that's like in this like post Barbie movie, post Eras Tour, women are reading romance books and not caring what people think about anymore kind of like world. Like, I think there's like a lot to this movie that's like that girlhood, you know, feeling of like, I can go get my nails done and like be like feminine and also be badass and like walk into a room and like know what I'm talking about and be competent about something. And so like, there's like kind of a giddy like feeling that comes with that. And okay, last one. I'm sorry. This is what happens when you've seen a movie so many times.
You think, yeah,
keep going.
Me and my like Enneagram 4 whatever self is like, oh my gosh, there's so much to learn from Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
But the last one is like Justified because I think like, and this is, I would say like, this is the one that I feel as an adult, like now watching this movie because specifically when it comes to the situation that happens with Professor Callahan and like his like sexual harassment of her and just that whole scenario. Like I feel like there is something so satisfying about like being like, okay, like he was, I mean, I don't want to know. I don't know if he was like held accountable. We don't really know what happened to him afterwards, but point being in the moment,
in all likelihood, honestly, probably
he was
not.
Yeah. 100%.
Like,
yeah.
And I don't think the movie puts forth that he was held accountable. Like,
right. I guess it's more so like Brooke fired him, you know, like, so in the moment there was a sense of like,
yes,
there was a just,
you're not
going
to get to, right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I think, you know, even in my own career, like my first career out of college, like there was, I worked under a man who like was pretty like emotionally manipulative and like was very like just toxic specifically towards women in our office. And like, going through that whole experience and like talking to other women about it, it's like, this is so common. So many women go through this in academic settings and workplace settings, you know, wherever. And so like, there's something about like her just like kicking ass that feels like you get to the end of the movie and you're like, oh, that felt so good. And to like, you know, Warner ends up falling on his face, like all that stuff. It's like, this, this feels good. Like,
I think you touched on something really interesting when you said that even though she's hot and rich, you still don't feel inferior. You feel built up. And I think part of that might be because she's in such a different context where she's, you kind of get a sense in the movie where she's been killing it at life just in general. But now she's in a space where that thing that has made her successful in so many other areas is not going to necessarily help in the same ways.
Yep.
And I think there might be something to that.
Yeah, totally. Go ahead.
I just was going to say, to me, it's presented as an underdog story because she's relocated to this Harvard law school setting where she doesn't have the upper hand like she mm-hmm. has in many times of her life. And now she has to prove herself because no one thinks she can do what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Justin, what feelings do you have while watching this movie?
I just said you feel hopeful, like good things can actually happen even amidst all the setbacks Elle experiences in this movie. I feel optimistic. This movie has rose-colored glasses, but not in a way yeah. that mm-hmm. is... Mm-hmm. It does not take itself too seriously, but it does make some good points and has good themes, but it does balance the fact that it's not, like, trying to hammer home this, like, this is what should happen, or this yeah. is what life can be like. It's more so just telling a fun story, I feel like.
I think the even though there are some serious elements of it, like, the lack of seriousness actually helps it a lot, because yeah. I think if you were telling this exact same story about a rich white woman framed as the underdog,
yep.
like, I just think if it was taking itself really seriously, there'd be a lot of legitimate eye rolls.
Totally.
And I think the fact that the thing has a sense of levity and that it is very silly and stuff, but still has all of the things that have been mentioned so far, I think really helps the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel light and happy, and like as we said, it puts you in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have many comfort rewatch movies. So there are just movies that I like to rewatch every now and then, but this is close to that, especially after experiencing it with you and like seeing it through your lens, Abby, as just because we're married.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I just like this movie in general. It's so fun and awesome.
Yes.
So.
I said this is not really an emotion, but I said time machine. I'm not even going to say nostalgic, because nostalgic isn't quite the right word, but this movie came out in 2001. I was born in September of 1920. Goodness gracious. I was born in September of
1927.
Yeah, 1996. You guys were both born in 97, correct?
I was 96, October.
Oh, 96. Right. Abby, I always forget that you're actually
Yeah, I'm with an older woman.
Cougar. Yeah. Anyway, so born in 1996, so... From the beginning of the movie, all of the pink and everything, it felt very Lizzie McGuire to me.
Totally.
I didn't even watch Lizzie McGuire, but I watched TV and
you
I saw it.
You probably made fun of me for watching Lizzie McGuire.
It's that early
probably.
2000s core, like 100%.
Yeah. And it just kind of brings me back in a way that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have like pure in heart. Like it's very light. And watching Elle Woods be... I'll talk a little more about this later, but be a person who has a purity of heart that I think it just makes me feel happy
yes.
and light.
Yeah.
So what to you resonates as true about this movie? You can think of this in any way you want to. Abby, what do you think?
I don't know if Abby has any notes on this, but just share whatever
you know,
comes to mind.
Just my dissertation. I should write a dissertation.
You really
on
should.
This movie. Like,
I'm pretty sure people have.
You're right. I should look that up. I would totally eat that up. Yeah. So I think there's like a couple things that like stick out to me, but like
sure.
What feels true about this movie is like. And I want to be like mindful in how I'm saying this, but like I really think that this movie is a show of like the power of decentering power, but also decentering men a little bit. And I think it was a little bit ahead of its time for that, because that whole conversation, like, and I'm not an expert on the conversation of like decentering men, like, and the patriarchy and all these things, but it's something that like I think as women, like, we are often from a young age, whether like in really intense ways or more like micro ways, taught like we exist for the pleasure of men in various ways. That can be as like little as like, oh, you should dress up cute so you can get the boy at school to notice you, or like, you know, to like more harmful ways that, you know, we could get into. But like, so, but what this movie does and what I think is really cool about it is that like the beginning, it's all about men. And not just Elle, but like Paulette's trying to get the attention of the male guy.
Yeah.
Like Vivian's like obsessed with like locking down Warner. Like they're trying to like prove themselves to Professor Callahan. Like just the men are the center of the story, other than Emmett, which I won't spend too much time talking about, but ooh, Luke Wilson, I love him.
Luke Wilson slays.
He really does. But yeah, so like, I think that there's something really powerful that by the end of the movie, you can really tell, like, for Elle, like, that, like, there's a shift that happens where she, like, honestly forgets about Warner. I don't think she's thinking about him, like, as a character. Mm-hmm. And she starts, like, realizing her passion for law, her passion for, like, helping others, like what you kind of had said in your description, Nick. And I think, like, when you get to the end of the movie, you're like, wow, all of a sudden, like, it's just not about, like, proving themselves to these men. Because I think, like, the movie could have gone in a way where it ended that way and there still was this, like, really, like, classic, like, oh, she, like, made it more about Emmett or mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah. And it didn't do that. Like, it stayed focused on her as a character. And, like, you know, there still was that, like, side love story. But even that, like, her and Emmett, like, he was very much, like, it's stand very... back and let her shine
yeah.
kind of mentality, which I love. And so I really liked that. And then the other piece of that is, like, with, like, because of just the society that women are born into, we not just women, I think this is everybody actually, but, like, there's often a mentality, especially in, like, again, academic or workplace settings, that is, like, if you want to get to where you want to get to, like, you have to be prepared to tear down others to get where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Elle does not do that. She, like, consistently chooses, like, kindness and honesty and empathy and, like, these things that go against, like, what everyone else is trying to do. Like, everyone else is being unkind to her. Callahan obviously is like, hey, you should sleep with me to get where you want to go next. Like, and, like, she just is constantly, like, not choosing that. And I think, like, I've seen people in my life on, like, both ends of that spectrum, like, people who are just, like, tearing down other people to get to the top. And the people who choose, like, honesty and kindness and all those things, like, they always end up going so much further. Maybe they're not the, you know what, sometimes the people who do tear other people down make it to the top, but the truth always, like, comes to fruition at some point, you know, and that's, like, part of that justification too. So, like, yeah, I think that's the other thing that feels, like, true to me is, like, this, it might be cheesy for some people, but I'm, like, the power of, like, kindness and, like, choosing to be kind to others over your own success, I guess.
Yeah. Against the against the American grain of get yours, do what it takes to get yours. And on the decentering men point that you made, it's funny because at the end of the movie it flips where Warner is coming to Elle and is like,
yep.
Oh my gosh, Pooh Bear. I want to be
with not a Pooh Bear.
The Pooh Bear. I want to be with
Bear.
You.
Yeah.
And I forget what she says, but basically is like, nah, I'm good. See ya.
Literally. I think she in that moment is like, I forgot about you. Like, yeah. That's her facial expression, and I love it.
It's like the I've never even seen the show, but I know the meme, like the Madman meme where they're in the elevator, and it's like, I hate you, or like, I'm thinking about you, and then the other person's like, I never think about you.
Right, right.
This movie doesn't want to convince you that Reese Witherspoon's character Elle is a dumb blonde who turns into a very smart blonde. She's intelligent from the very start.
Mm.
Yeah.
And right when she teaches the sales lady a lesson for trying to upsell her on that dress that was on sale and answered the wrong questions when Elle answered the questions wrong when Elle asked her the questions about the dress, she showed her up. So I just like that where she has this intelligence already and has all the tools to do what she's going to do later in the movie, even though she's very pretty and popular and runs this the sorority at school, she's already someone who's very impressive. It's just almost proving people she can do stuff that no one thinks she can.
Well, and she can also be smart and also have the personality that is squeaky and like very pink and very out there.
Totally.
And I think there's definitely something to that because I think a lot of times it's framed as these are mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to either be one or the other.
Nuance,
also,
baby.
I would like to say that no matter what major you are, if you have a 4.0.
True.
I don't know what is all involved in fashion merchandising, but I can imagine that feels like that's still not an easy major. I'm like, no major in college is perfectly easy. So I'm like, she's slaying. She's the president of her sorority and getting a 4.0.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's accurate. 4.0 is still impressive. It's not nothing. Yeah. Also, I said the world would be better if we stopped overlooking women and started taking them seriously. That is something that the movie puts forth where it's like her, even Vivian, when she gets the internship and is clearly very smart too.
Yeah.
she gets overlooked by Callahan and then just like, give me my coffee, you know, give me the things I want. So that's definitely eminent in this movie.
I said confidence can push you through so much because I particularly think of the party where she dresses up and that is like a nightmare scenario. And
for so many people.
And she just rides it out. She's like, yeah.
Takes it on the chin.
Yeah, she does. And that confidence, because like a big part of confidence coming from someone who's not that confident is manufacturing confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real. And I think that, I mean, when you get to the scenario where you're dressed as the bunny at the party and everyone else is not, you have a few options. And one of them is like, own it. And she owns it.
Yep.
And I think that's just emblematic of the movie. I just said Elle using her legal powers for good to help Paulette.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, that's huge, especially.
Do you know
like,
what habeas corpus is? I love it. She's just like throwing out her first year law student words like, this will work on this guy.
I mean, it did.
Absolutely. I said people getting pigeonholed into narratives.
True.
The
So true.
And then I just said, blessed are the pure in heart. I was just thinking of the Beatitudes with this one. So like what Elle does makes no sense half the time, like in real life,
totally.
Like particularly with the legal case.
Yeah.
And it works out and she's full of love. And some movies that I thought of that have like central characters who are in some ways similar to this, in some different ways, but who remind me of this are like Collateral, Suspiria, Marathon Man. All those movies have characters at the center who are very much like pure in heart in environments that are not. And what drives the story is their purity of heart. And they're not perfect, but there's just a beauty there. And then I also said, Justin and I have talked about this a lot, character development. Sometimes a character doesn't need to develop. Their sameness is what's great. And in this movie,
you know who you are. We're talking about you.
In this movie, she does change. She changes in her interests and things. But at her core, she very as a character, her character is very constant throughout the movie.
Yep.
And a lot of times I just like watching a movie with a central character who is just lovely to start.
Yeah,
and
it starts out fully developed.
Yeah, you see their loveliness just go throughout the whole movie. And again, she does
change.
Gets
put to the test.
Yeah, and it gets tested, but you see it stay true.
Yep.
And it's not that she doesn't change because she changes in her interests and what she wants to do and in her sense of self and power probably, but who she is very, very much stays the same.
Totally. I mean, it's like at the end, you know, and after she's given this eloquent graduation speech, she's like, we did it, you know? And I'm just like, it's so good. Like, I'm like, she's still that, like, going back to what I was saying earlier about the girlhood piece of things, like, that is like core girlhood stuff, you know, where you're like, I can be like silly, excited, and not feel bad about it, and also be like, whatever, the valedictorian of my Harvard Law School class.
Yeah.
Which again, whoa.
True.
4.0 and valedictorian of Harvard Law. Like, damn.
Zuckerberg got nothing on her. He went to Harvard. With your confidence thing, Nick, she just lives her life, does not apologize for it, for how she is. She just shows up on the first day of Harvard Law in her car and her dog in her pink outfit, and people are like, oh my gosh, she's wearing pink. Hey, Barbie. And she's just like, I don't know, I'm just here. I'm me.
Yeah, absolutely.
She doesn't hide.
Yeah. I have a few more.
Yeah.
Please.
Reese Witherspoon is just an absolute star in this role,
right?
I mean, she's incredible. Like, her facial expression. I was astounded at her facial expressions throughout the movie. She did a great job with that in playing this character. And her smile, it just feels like she embodies Elle so perfectly, and you never see her let up. Like, you believe that's her. That's
she
what
makes
a good
or
performance
breaks
is.
The movie
totally.
As well.
Yeah.
Like, if she's not good, the movie is ass.
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
yes. And then along with that, the first 20 minutes are so good. I just clocked that when she, like, right up through the Harvard video that they watched, that's the first 20 minutes. And it's like, dang, so much happens. Like, Warner breaks up with her. She decides she wants to go to Harvard Law to show that she's worthy. She studies all this stuff for the for the exam, for the LSATs. And they watch the video. There's a lot in that first 20 minutes. And this movie is already only like 96 minutes, so they have to pack it, and but it's good. It's awesome.
Totally. Yeah.
What is not true about this movie? So what do you not vibe with or think that the movie puts forth that you're like, no?
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, because I love this movie so much, it will, like, it's hard for me to think of things that I'm like, oh, this really doesn't feel true. But I will say, this is more speaking to any movie that was made in the early 2000s. Let's be real. Like, there are some stereotypes in that movie, which it's funny because the whole movie is about breaking down stereotypes.
Yeah.
But there's some stereotypes of certain people in that movie that I'm like, ooh. I, like, if this was made today, I think that would certainly not have.
For sure.
Yeah. And so I think, like, that definitely did not feel great. Sometimes, like, now watching that, I'm like, yeah, maybe let's not, like
outing the gay character.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like,
even though it is in the context of a trial and blah, 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 but, like, it feels unnecessary and feels like, oh, wow, okay.
Yes. Like, well, and even, like, the queer characters in it are just so, like, these, like, quintessential, like, really, yeah, like, intense stereotypes of, like,
that's so true.
The lesbian sure. who's whatever, you know? And it's, like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying that, like, those people don't exist, but also it's, like, it just... Just that, yeah, this movie played a little bit too much into some of those things.
This is the only representation they're getting. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. So, like, that definitely, that was kind of the main one, honestly, that came to my head. But I'm interested to hear your guys's.
I just said the courtroom logic and the way things unfold there are a little questionable
oh,
to
yeah,
me.
That.
I love the courtroom scenes. They're great.
Yeah, they're incredible.
Do we think that's, like, actually, like, a thing in wherever they're at, Boston, I guess, like that a law student can.
I have no idea.
I mean, then again,
if you have supervision,
can't you, like, defend yourself in courtroom? So it feels like if they want
to
have
you can.
A law
you
student
can defend
do it,
yourself.
Then,
I mean, when I was student teaching, they didn't let me sub. And so I'm like, you're going to let someone be legal defense.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. So I just said that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to say this and just basically move on. I don't find it super inspiring to see privilege succeed above and beyond. I'm like,
sure.
Wow, the most successful person ever is succeeding more. Great. But that is a very cynical take. And I think it speaks to the power of the movie that all the things that we've already said of, like, it, you still root for her. And I think that that's the power of the movie. Last thing, and I actually think as far as, like, the not true part, I think the movie kind of acknowledges this some. And I think that as a general culture, we've leaned more into this, or maybe it's just me. I think Harvard's lame. I don't like it.
Mm.
It hoards educational resources rather than spreading them. It's a mill of pretentiousness. I will give them 1 point for fighting the Trump administration recently on how it wanted them to just follow all of its policy regarding international students. So 1 point for Harvard, but mostly I think Harvard's lame. And that's not to say that it doesn't produce some great things and that some brilliant people don't go there, because they do.
There's a reason Rory Gilmore didn't go there.
Yeah, Rory Gilmore,
I mean, yeah.
Satan herself.
I know,
that
yeah.
actually is a point for Harvard that Rory did not go there.
Probably,
I'm
actually.
I'm a Rory hater. I'm sorry.
I think it's
Yale.
Hard not to be. Yeah.
Which character is the best hang? Which is the worst hang? Abby, who's the best hang?
Okay, so I mean, like, I feel like the easy answer is Paulette, because in the movie they hang, you know,
my
so
answer.
You like you get
I love
to
Paulette.
Yeah, she's sweet, she's a good
a
listener.
Paulette.
I'm a big
She'll
Paulette
do your
fan.
Nails, like that's amazing.
True.
But I would say, like, because I had a feeling maybe one or both of you would also say that, my secondary person was David Kidney, and hear me out here on this one, okay? Okay, first of all, I feel that because he gives off nerd vibes, like, I feel like he'd be a good hang to, like, go play some video games with, you know, like, he'd probably be a good listener, I imagine. He, like, went with Elle to, like, point out the little code book to the, which I thought was really funny. He just seems like one of those people that I'm like, you know what, David, I want to hang out with you. You're a solid person. So,
yeah.
Those were mine.
He's kind of funny, too.
He
like, when
funny.
when he gets that answer right early on in the scene, in the movie, in the class, and he, he gets it right, but then she makes him question, like, would you bet your life on it? Would you bet this person's life on it?
Also,
and he's like, I don't know.
I hate when professors are just power tripping and they're just like, oh, would you, I'm going to make you look stupid. And it's like, uncool, lame.
Yeah.
It's the first day class. You guess someone's got to die.
Law professors can be that way. Like, from my friends who have been in law school, but also when I was doing some, like, last night I was just looking on Reddit about what some actual lawyers think about Legally Blonde. Like, oh, yeah. A lot of them were like, the one thing that they portrayed really well was the, like, how the law professors are, and also just like the culture around like law school from the other students, because I guess Reese Witherspoon like went and like actually like shadowed some like law students, and they like actually tried to really make it as like realistic as they could. And I was like, that's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, not cool. I mean, if the professors really are that way, that sucks.
Well, yeah, it's not fun, but I said Luke Wilson's character, Emmett.
I
love him.
He's nice. He's so on the periphery. And almost such a non-character that,
right.
Like, it's...
Yeah.
But, like, yes.
He matches my chill vibe. He's very chill. He's
100%.
He just listens to her. He just wants to help. He's not stuck up like many Harvard students could be. And he's obviously really good because he's working with Callahan a lot on stuff. And he does his study. Like, he does research. But he's not pretentious whatsoever. He's just a chill dude. I like him. I also thought about, especially as she develops as a character, Vivian, she gets better. And she, especially when she starts talking trash about Warner, it's like, oh you might be fun to hang out with, actually.
The tables have turned.
Yes.
I said Paulette. She's just the best. She has the best quotes. She is so fun. She is like the one normal person in this movie. Just
right.
Like somewhat normal.
Working class lady.
And she is she's just lovely. I love Paulette. And Jennifer Coolidge, I think Jennifer Coolidge is always playing this sort of persona in some way, shape, or form of like the but like this is that at its best, I think.
Yeah.
Because like I think so I've seen a fair amount of The White Lotus because Hannah really likes it. And like, I think Jennifer Coolidge is really good in that kind of thing. But like, that show is just depressing, so depressing. Mm-hmm. And also, everyone is terrible. And it's like, well, you're great at being stuck up and horrible.
Right.
But like, in this movie, she has the silliness of the Jennifer Coolidge type, but she's also very, very likable, I think.
And if you haven't, have you seen Cinderella Story? Has Hannah had you watch that one?
I
because her as the stepmom in Cinderella Story, that's the, because seriously, those are the two roles I agree, like that the best Jennifer Coolidge roles, hands down.
I've seen, is that the Hilary Duff one?
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely have seen that, but when I saw it, I was probably like 6 or 7, my, like my family that would babysit for me and my sister sometimes, like, their daughters watched it, and I have definitely seen that more than once, but it was so long ago. But I do remember like one scene with Jennifer Coolidge and like a plate of cookies being like, no, they're so moist.
Literally. It's so good. You guys have to watch that.
That's literally all I remember about that movie is Jennifer Coolidge and her cookies.
Eating cookies.
They're delicious.
Uh-huh.
Who's the worst? Oh, no.
Justin? I was just going to say to you, Nick, when I watched this movie for the second time a few years ago, you were like, Paulette, she's amazing. I was like, I think I was just so overtaken by Elle.
You commented on my review and you were like, Paulette does nothing. I'm like, false.
Whoa.
That is, get the Paulette slander out of
those
here.
I had Elle blinders on. No one else in that movie mattered to me besides Elle, because she's incredible. But this third time, I really noticed Paulette, and I appreciated her and was like, yeah, she's awesome.
Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And her dog.
Yes, her dog.
So cute.
Worst hang?
Yeah, worst hang. Warner?
Yeah, I mean, Professor Callahan.
Warner or Kaverska, like, Professor Callahan are the two answers.
Yeah. Yep.
Warner Cunningham the third.
He's going to be a senator by the time he's 30. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I said Professor Callahan because he's the character who is a sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm like, well, that kind of automatically puts you there. But Warner sucks so bad that he's really in the running there.
Like,
he's
you know that, like, if you were his friend, too, like, he's going to, like, talk to you about his, like, 401k. I don't know.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
like, some shit that doesn't matter. And I'm like, can you stop talking to me
about...
Yeah,
he's all about the perception of who he is and what his life is going to be. And it's like, can you just live your life?
Right.
Chill. Yeah.
He's got a bright future in Lehman Brothers or Bear Stearns or some other evil corporation that's going to tank the economy and screw everyone over.
He's barely in it, but I also said Paulette's husband.
like,
oh, just, as worst
you
hang,
just know,
yeah, as worst hang.
Oh, as worst hang. I'm sorry, I was getting, my head was still stuck on best hang. I thought you were talking about her, like, her
I was gonna say,
mailman.
I was like, that guy kind of sucks.
Not Dewey.
Yeah, no, yeah, the one that lives in a trailer, he
yeah,
sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Kept the dog? Come on.
Yep.
And you're the one who left her? That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This, we might not have answers here. I have one for it. Which character would be the best Super Smash Edition? What did you say, Abby? You're nodding your head. You have one?
Yeah, because it's obviously Professor Stromwell, which is the female professor that ends up, you know, at the end is like, whatever, don't let some man tell you that you can't do this. But, like, the thing is she's terrifying. You know, Emmett even said he cried. He went to his room and cried after his first class with her. And so, like, I imagine in a Super Smash setting, like, the power would just be that she stares at you in this really intense way and the other character just, like, blows up or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the game that well.
No,
but
that tracks.
Justin, you have any?
I said L. She just have, like, explosions of pink and overtake you that way and her shine.
Mm-hmm. Lots of Princess Peach energy there.
Yes.
I said Bruiser. Bruiser.
Cute.
He would absolutely be the best.
He's like a little Pichu.
I don't know. Yeah, he is.
Oh my gosh.
Any movie specific questions, you guys?
Oh yeah.
All right. Let's hear them.
What was Bruiser watching on the TV during the montage at one
Kira
point?
Taco Bell. The Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Is that what it
was?
Do
you guys actually remember those from the early? Like, I think that's what it was. It was just a Taco Bell commercial.
Okay. At first I thought she had something on the TV for him. Like, Bruiser watched this.
I mean, kind of she did, but I think it was just Taco Bell commercial.
Okay.
Abby, any questions?
Yeah. So I know how I just went through that whole spiel about decentering men and not doing things for men's pleasure.
Hey, let's talk about the men, guys.
Yeah.
But do we think the bend and snap actually works with a 98% success rate? Because
this is a good
question. I thought about this and I'm like, okay, here's the thing is that if I just out in the wild one day do the bend and snap, like, I just can't imagine. But then again, I thought about, like, you know, Nick, I don't know if you watch How I Met Your Mother, but Justin, you know, the naked man and How I Met Your Mother works 2 out of 3 times or whatever. Like, that's, I imagine that it's something weird like that where, like, it would get someone's attention to be like, what did that person just do? And then they're like, wait, do I love them? Okay. Or break someone's nose like Paulette did, you know, that worked for her. So
if I'm correct on this, the snap part is like they're pushing their boobs up, right?
Well, yeah, there's a little boobs.
The way
boobs,
they frame their boobs, I'm like, what? I don't know if I've ever seen a person do this before.
No.
My question was, I had a bend and snap question.
Uh-huh.
Abby, I'm most interested in your answer. Is bend and snap empowering? Is it totally toxic? Is it somewhere in between?
You know, in the world of this movie, I feel that it is empowering because the way that they go about it in the salon, first of all, I do think that scene's really endearing because there's, like, women of all different, like, shapes and sizes, like, dancing, and they're just having fun. And I feel like it's one of those weird moments where you're like, in the real world, no, it would probably be really toxic. I'm not for women, like, just feeling like they have to do this weird physical movement
to
get men's attention. I don't hear me clearly.
Here's what I think it is. It really does help, like, Jennifer Coolidge's character, Paulette, to just have some confidence because clearly she's not confident. She just needs to do something to get herself out there for this guy.
Yes.
She can barely speak a word to this gentleman because she's so enamored with him. So the bend and snap can be helpful. It's not for everyone, though.
Abby, you pointed to the women of all shapes and colors. That's as close as this movie gets to being intersectional, unfortunately.
Oh my gosh,
unfortunately.
Yep.
I guess that's
again,
one of
early
the untrue.
2000s, ouch.
But I was like,
that's something I was going to change. Yeah.
I was like, this is the whitest movie I've ever seen in my
so
life.
So white.
Yep. I was like, dang. And that's kind of what I was saying earlier with the, like, stereotypes. Like, even the two, like, hyper feminine gay men that were working in the salon. Like, again, not that, like, there are gay men who work in salons. Like, I'm not saying that, like, doesn't exist, but I just think they play so heavily into that stuff, and I'm like, guys.
Abby really liked the part last night at the end, and I forgot about this part when the guy comes out and he says, "Bend and snap works every
works every time."
Have you seen either of you seen any of the sequels?
I have seen every version of this movie and slash. I want to talk to you about the musical, but I'm going to talk about it in a little bit when we talk about fun facts. But yes, the second one is fine. I will tell you that I don't think I've rewatched it since like, oh gosh, probably like early high school. So that will tell you that it's fine, but it is not like anything great.
Oh my gosh. Sally Field and Regina King are both in Legally Blonde 2. I'm just looking at this right now. I did not know that.
Well, and like, to be quite honest, like all I remember about the second one is like Bruiser is like dating another boy dog.
Yes.
Hey, there's that representation we were looking for.
Queer representation, Legally Blonde. Thank you.
And there's something about animal testing, and she's working at.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
I don't know. It's
Does
just
she
like,
work at Emmett's law firm?
No.
Because he opens up his own practice.
No, she doesn't actually. Oh, okay. She goes and works somewhere else. Yeah, again, Emmett is in the movie, but he's just like, you go, babe. Like the whole movie, he's like,
they get married, right?
Yeah, they do get married in it. And then there was like some Legally Blonde, like twins movie. Like it was.
Oh,
these,
yeah. Legally Blondes.
That one. I probably
and I don't think
watched
Reese
that one time.
Is in that one.
No, she's not.
And
I don't think
that one, the cast, I'm looking through, it's a lot. It's Slim Pickens in the cast on that one. Also, just want to shout out Legally Blondes. Sorry. Legally Blonde 2 has one of my fave character actors, Bruce McGill. He's in Lincoln, Collateral, The Insider, Ollie.
Okay.
He's in a lot of Michael Mann movies. I like him a lot. Also, Legally Blonde 2. Natural crossover.
Yep. What does Elle's resume smell like?
Ooh.
Strawberries.
Yeah.
It's just pink, so that's just kind of what I would guess.
I just envision vanilla.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
Like sugar cookies or vanilla. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I know we talked to, like, Reese, like, slayed this role, and it's hard for me to imagine anyone else, but who do you guys think could play Elle Woods that could kill it as much as, like, Reese did? Or is there anyone?
Are you talking about, like, in all of history or just, like, right now?
Any actress. Like any other actress out there who... You were like, okay, they could probably play Elle Woods and slay it as much as Reese did.
It's a really good question, and I think it's pretty telling that no one comes right to mind. Do you have anyone?
Honestly, no. I was trying to think about it. Like,
okay, I don't think she's gonna top Reese Witherspoon, but Margot Robbie, because
I thought
she was
about
Barbie
her.
Too.
Yeah. Yes, I thought about that. But even she's not, like, even in Barbie, she's not Elle Woods, like,
she's not
level
no.
of, like.
I think she's a good enough actress. She could get there.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair.
But, yeah, I do think Reese Witherspoon is probably top of the line for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a terrible answer. It's a really bad answer.
Okay.
But it came to mind probably because I just watched this person, and she's one of those people that just pops up in things now and then. And you're like, ooh, I like this person. I watched Brokeback recently. Mm-hmm. It's very good, by the way. But Michelle Williams, I like a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I like
and
her.
Here's my caveat with that, is that it would have to be a different movie. Because I don't think she could do the bubbles as much.
Yep.
So
very need bubbly,
very different type of movie. So that's not even a real answer. I'm not proposing that, but if the movie were to go in a very different direction, maybe Michelle Williams.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like that.
I actually think Margot Robbie would make a very interesting different universe as Elle Woods.
She would.
Yeah, that's the thing is like anybody you think of, you're like they could do it. It just wouldn't be this movie, like this version of it, I guess. So. I do have another one.
Yeah,
this will be my last one.
No, that's fine.
But why is Luke Wilson not more famous than Owen Wilson? Because this movie reminded me that he is a better actor than Owen Wilson, in my opinion. Like, if you've seen him in Family Stone, you know.
Yes.
Luke Wilson's got it going on, and not just in the looks department. He's also a great actor.
He's so good.
And he's, like, so natural. And I feel like Owen Wilson, we just watched, like, what was that movie? Oh, The Internship with him and Vince Vaughn.
Nick's favorite movie.
I hate that movie. That's
Owen
a non-movie.
Everything Owen Wilson does is just, like, it feels forced. And, like, Luke Wilson is the opposite. Everything he does feels so natural. And I just feel like Owen Wilson is more famous.
Luke Wilson has Riz.
He does.
He does. He's
aura.
Really good. I don't have a he got aura, Justin. Is he a Sigma too?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have like much of an opinion on the Wilson brothers. Fair. They're people who I never ever think about. But when I see them like in a Wes Anderson movie, I'm like,
yeah, Abby, we got to watch some more Wes Anderson movies because Luke Wilson is in a bunch of them.
Okay, so, yeah, I forgot. That's true.
I heard this.
Those just aren't like popular movies. Oh, like they are popular, but they're very niche.
Right, right.
Allegedly. So this is just completely off of a thing I heard. Luke Wilson in the final scene when he's like clapping, he's wearing a wig. Because he had shaved his head for Royal Tenenbaums, which out of the Wes Anderson movies that I've seen is my favorite besides Fantastic Mr. Fox. It is my favorite live-action Wes Anderson movie, but he has his head shaved.
I just bought Fantastic Mr. Fox in the Criterion Collection.
Oh, the Criterion Collection.
With my Barnes & Noble membership, you're welcome, Justin.
Yeah, well, to get you stamps.
That's true.
And I can bring up some pictures if you guys would like, because I have an article for this. And I really want your thoughts on this, Abby, too, because you've watched this so many times.
Yep.
What are the best Elle Woods outfits in this movie? And tell me, let me know if you want any pictures, because but I do have descriptions, and so I have like 8 or 9. She has like, this is a fun fact that you maybe already know, she has 40 outfits in this movie. She has 40 hairstyles, but probably something like that
but
for her.
She
has
a ton of outfits. Yeah. And Reese Witherspoon got to keep them all.
Actually, do you know why she kept
them?
Didn't
she have it in her contract or something?
I don't know if she did. She probably did. But she, in fun facts, I have. So this is a quote. It really bothers me. Imagine some sicko in Wisconsin smelling the seams. It creeps me out.
Oh my God.
And she said, it's all in the closet. One day my daughter can play with it.
That is hilarious.
That's really funny.
That
also
feels
a valid
such
reason.
A Reese Witherspoon thing. She's like such like a funny person. Like when you listen to her in interviews and stuff, like she says these things, you're like, whoa.
Also, that's like really good reasoning.
That is good reasoning. Also,
it's not very for like a vain reason or something.
No,
this is also like a quintessential classic character. Like this movie was like a classic. And
American
I feel
classic.
Like she really because this movie is so unique like to her, I feel like she should own the costumes. You know what I mean? Like it's like who else would.
Okay, I'm going to get back to the outfits, but this thought just came to my head. No. I'm actually going to bring something else up now. Do we feel like this movie, Elle Woods, is just Reese Witherspoon, like, dialed up, like, two or three notches? Like, let's take her to a different level? Because she just fits like a glove. And also, if you follow Reese Witherspoon on Instagram or just in her life, it's like, yeah, I could see this being Elle Woods.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think she definitely has her, like, joy, like loves to talk to people. I think that's really is like Reese Witherspoon's vibe from what I mean, I guess I don't know her, but from what I can tell. And she always says in interviews that playing Elle was like the joy of her life. Like, I feel like she talks a lot about that she really enjoyed it, which means to me feels like she connected to her probably as a character. So,
yeah.
It's interesting to see her in different roles. Like, because early on, so Election, she's in the movie Election. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yeah, people really like that movie, and I do not.
So I really like parts of that movie. It is so gross in some ways intentionally, but also in some ways that I'm like, this does not age well, and I don't feel like had ever been like, I don't know. Right. I don't know. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. But like seeing her in Mud, like she's a very different character in that movie. She's really, I love her in that movie. Just love that movie. She's in Walk the Line as June Carter.
Yeah.
She's good in
that
movie. She is in
that one show.
Have you guys seen Wild?
Big Little Lies.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have not seen Wild, but I want to watch it.
Yeah. I've heard good things about it.
I've seen it. I saw it a long time ago. Like probably 2019 is when not 2019, 2015 is when I saw it. And it's very much like an actor's like, oh, I really want to play this. This is an important role kind of movie, which I'm
like a Leo in Tyler's favorite movie.
The Revenant.
Yeah. He's going hard.
It's very, she doesn't eat any raw bison liver. she doesn't sleep in a dead animal carcass. Good on her, frankly.
Right.
That's
disgusting.
Stupid. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So the outfits she has that I put down, sitting on the lawn at orientation with a pink hat. Picture this in your mind, audience. Pink hat, striped pink and blue top, pink pants.
Yep.
That's a great one.
The visuals in this movie, actually, I was probably thinking about this just because like I knew I was going to do this podcast, and I was like, oh, the visuals. But the, like, it is crazy, like, when she's sitting in any room.
Yeah,
the true. Like, everyone else is in gray and black.
And she pops.
And she's just, like, pop of color. And visually, it's really yeah. satisfying to see in the movie sometimes.
Yeah. Those, so. I'm sure those spaces are really drab and gray.
Probably.
Or brown. The engagement, pink dress for Warner.
Totally.
That's a good dress.
Mm-hmm.
The intimidation.
Her color.
Yeah, the intimidation outfit for Paulette's husband. She has like a lavender and white knit beanie with a purple flower in it, glasses, a red turtleneck, and a purple fluffy coat.
Uh-huh.
Green cardigan and tie with blue skirt for a professional outfit.
For her first day of school. That's my favorite outfit in the whole movie.
Okay.
Don't ask me why. I just think it's really...
I love that.
It's kind of like weird and like it looks like she's wearing a cigar jacket or something and I just love it. I'm like...
Yeah, she kind of does look like that.
Yeah.
I don't know this language. I just looked this up and a pink halter in the video where she says, I object.
Yeah, when she's on the street.
Yeah, when she's on the street. Purple sparkly bikini top and fluffy and pink fluffy coat when she's laying out by like the football guy.
Iconic. Playing.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Bend and snap fit. That's pretty normal, but it just was, I don't know, pretty good fit. Arrival to Harvard pink outfit.
Yeah.
Like when she first gets there. That's a good one. And then the dress where she wins the court case.
Totally. Shows back up in her classic pink.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, anyone else have more questions?
Well, I'm going to jump into, if you guys are okay, if this could be directed by someone else, who would you choose? And I can go first if we want to think about it.
I was thinking about this earlier because I was wondering if you're going to ask this. Well, yeah. we kind of have this on the docket now.
Mm-hmm. It goes, it's one that goes in and out.
Yeah. Greta Gerwig?
She's one of the people I put. I just put a woman.
Right.
A woman.
And this movie is very, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, non-directed. Like, in the sense of, like, you don't watch
it's an autopilot, like, director.
Yeah. You're not like, oh, this director made a lot of big choices here.
Right.
Because I already had the background with, like, the play and the book, so.
Came after.
Yeah.
Oh, the play came after?
The book was first.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
I had Greta Gerwig. Some other women directors that I put down were Kelly Freeman Craig, who did Edge of 17 and Are You There, God? I think she would be an interesting one because she does, like, Edge of 17 and Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, are both, like, transitional coming of age.
Yes.
And while this isn't necessarily coming of age, it's a person in transition.
Totally, yeah.
kind of as a joke, Catherine Bigelow, who's directed Point Break and The Hurt Locker. There'd probably be a lot more guns and explosions.
I love that.
And then one last one, I said Emerald Fennell, who did Promising Young Woman. I'm not so sure after seeing Saltburn if I want her
to take a little crack at it.
Celine Song?
I love Celine Song, and if we have time, we're going to talk about her a little bit. I don't know if I'd have her on this one because she is.
I probably wouldn't either. I just was bringing her name up because I love her.
I love her too.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like because I only put down Greta Gerwig because you guys know I don't know anything about directors or people who make movies. But
I think she'd kill it.
I do think she would too. I feel like post Barbie movie, I probably felt more confident to say. But even like Little Women and stuff, if I would have like, I probably would have been like, yeah, she can do it.
Yeah.
But it would still be like. I still think there would be like a tinge to it that just felt so different, you know. But I truly, like, do you know anything about this man who directed it? Because I know nothing about him.
So he is Australian.
Okay.
He has directed the movie Legally Blonde. I think this was his first big movie that he directed. I think he had directed like a short film or a music video or something.
Okay.
He's directed the movie 21, which is some card counting movie with Kevin Spacey, The Ugly Truth, which is
I think Catherine Heigl
and Gerard Butler. Yeah.
You know, that movie's not too bad, actually. Right. I mean, it's a rom-com. It's nothing, like, life-changing, but.
Monster-in-Law.
Oh, yep. I have seen that, too.
Killers, the one with Catherine Heigl and Ashton Kutcher, and she's, like, holding a gun thing, and she's like, what?
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's okay. To be fair, I haven't seen any of these other movies. I think he may have peaked at Legally Blonde. I don't know.
I have seen some of those other ones. I would agree. Legally Blonde was definitely the best out of all of those, but some of them aren't bad. So,
all right.
Not all duds.
No, I haven't seen. So,
what, Nick, did you notice what car Elle Woods drives?
Porsche, right?
It's a Ferrari.
What?
Like, dang.
Wait.
Well, at least in the scene where she almost kills someone, basically.
Yeah.
When she's driving to the nail salon.
I mean, they live in Bel Air, yes. Right across from Aaron Spelling.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes.
My other last, yeah. Well, two-parter, kind of.
Sure.
What does Elle do if this whole Warner breakup thing doesn't happen? Does she go into fashion and just kill it there?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I have faith in Elle that she would eventually get away from Warner.
Probably.
Like, he would, I don't know, do whatever classic douche canoes do, and he'd probably cheat on her, and
probably
she'd be
cheat,
like,
yeah.
Fuck this, I'm out of here. Yeah. I don't know. Like, she would find her way to something, you know, better, but... Yeah, probably fashion. Probably. Honestly, I think like she probably would have just like settled in her like she's rich. She has, you know, she's just going to like go do her thing, go do her social activities. And it's like I think that's kind of what like even though, yes, she still is like very like she's a privileged person. She just is like at least she was like trying to help other people. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think that anyway,
she'd become a nice class traitor against the rich. I don't know, maybe. Who knows? We'll see.
This was not even a question, but there's points in the movie where she has enough setbacks and things that happen it's definitely realistic, but there's times where I'm like, is Elwood's a mythical creature, like a superhero? She puts her mind to something and then it gets done.
She is.
And that's kind of what's like part of the like
the fun of it.
It's like, yeah, not that it's not realistic, because obviously, like, yes, people can put their mind to something and do it, but like there are some things that you're like, whoa, she just like got into that internship.
Yeah.
she's doing the thing, like,
true.
It's amazing.
That's
fun facts.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Go for
hear it.
It.
No,
really.
Yeah.
Like you already talked about the movies, so that was one of my, or the outfits, I mean, but my main one is that, as we mentioned earlier, Legally Blonde is also a hit Broadway musical, which, mm-hmm. by the way, like one of the best musicals I have ever seen.
Dang.
And so I highly recommend that, like, if you can go and see it, you should go and see it or listen to the music. Like, the musical, I feel like, expands on some things that the movie, like, couldn't. Again, in, like, what, 98 minutes or something? Like, there is some really, like, the opening song is called Oh My God, You Guys, and it's, like, all the, like, sorority people. And then there's another song that happens, like, during her, that's, like, her video submission. There's another really great song, like, that's, like, called, like, Shark in the Water, which is, like, Callahan's song. Like, the songs, like, there's more Emmett. Emmett is in it a little bit more, and it's kind of, like, also talking about him, like, growing in some of his confidence. Like, there's just, like, some more aspects to it that are, like, just really fun, like, plays on the story. But my fun fact tied to that is that there was a reality TV show that when they first wrote Legally Blonde and were going to put it on Broadway, they had a reality TV show where basically people got on the show to audition to be Elle Woods on Broadway.
Whoa.
And so like every week it was like any classic, you know, American Idol type show where they'd have to do challenges and someone would get sent home every week. And of course there was like drama between all the blonde Elle women that wanted to be Elle Woods. But the woman who won, her name's Laura Bell Bundy. She was the first Elle Woods on Broadway. Do you know, Justin, what else she's in?
No, I have no idea. Doesn't sound familiar.
She is Becky from How I Met Your Mother. Boats, Boats, Boats.
Oh my gosh, this is incredible.
That is Laura Bell Bundy, and she's amazing.
Boats, Boats, Boats.
Yeah. So I think that's a really fun. Me and my sister watched that reality TV show live, and so like
that's so fun.
And as a theater kid, fun. I was just living for that show and every moment.
Yes.
So.
We have a theater kid among us, Justin.
Oh,
I forgot about that.
Chaotic theater kids.
Yes, she gets it.
So that's mine.
That's
amazing.
Really good.
We're going to have
really
another theater kid in here tomorrow with Bailey coming back.
Love.
Anyway, theater kids coming on
you
strong.
You can't escape us.
they're everywhere.
Elle is named after the magazine.
Yeah, Elle Magazine.
Oh.
Amanda Brown, the author of the book, said she actually heard someone trying to change semester to Ovester at Stanford.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of wild.
That is
awesome. Reese hung out with sorority groups to train. Okay, when you talked about recasting, I just want to revoke my Michelle Williams-ness. I love her, but it's just not working. But Christina Applegate was almost Elle Woods.
Oh.
I think Reese Witherspoon is a lot better.
Yeah.
But I like Christina Applegate.
I do too.
Same.
And I think that she would have done well. Those are the fun facts that I have.
Yeah.
I have a few more. This one's a half fake one, but Elle was at Harvard the same time Mark Zuckerberg was there. And
no way.
Social,
wow.
With like the timeline, it works out.
Crossover.
Crossover. And then I was like, the Winklevoss twins should have hired her as their lawyer. And then they definitely would have gotten Facebook from Mark Zuckerberg.
Damn, you're right.
You think she would have been down with working for the Winklevi?
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
Maybe.
Maybe Emmett was bros with them. He's like, no, they're good guys deep down. Don't worry.
That might be a red flag for Emmett.
It might be. No, I don't know if she would or not, but I just think that's funny. Me and Abby talked about this last night. L's of 179 out of 180 on the LSAT is like 0.1% of that's people
wild.
Who take the LSATs.
Yeah.
Our lawyer friend.
Wild.
Our lawyer friend, I asked him today. I was like, what did you get? He said he got a 172.
What an idiot.
He's extremely, smartest
Very
guy I know.
Super smart. And then I was like, wow, you didn't get the 175 Harvard threshold. I'm not hiring you as my lawyer.
Yeah, forget that.
And then they apparently said it could have been an R-rated movie, and they specifically cut down a lot of the dialogue that was inappropriate or racy. And it said, this is IMDb where I'm getting my source, like my facts from. It said apparently there was some racy stuff from Elle's mom. I was like, what did her mom say that they cut out? What the heck?
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
I think that's it. This is one of the rare movies that I think is better that it is PG-13.
Yeah.
Totally.
In part because, Abby, you talked about watching it as a kid.
Yep.
And it being formational for you. And
yep.
I think if it's an R-rated movie, it doesn't have as much of that.
100%.
Yeah, like cultural imprint.
And
yeah.
I like it's funny because it's one of those things where like that stuff went right over my head. Even the things that they do say in the movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I always think about one of my favorite quotes is after she gets into Callahan's internship and she's like, Warner, do you remember those 4 amazing hours we spent in the hot tub during winter break?
Yeah.
And then she's like, this is so much better than that. Like that whole section, when I was a kid, I didn't even...
What did you imagine?
I was so naive.
What did you imagine they were doing for 4 hours?
I literally was
in
thinking
the
they were just sitting in there talking to each other. Like, yep. I was just,
yeah.
I didn't know, you know?
Abby was pure
and
heart
then,
like Elle.
Yeah.
Also,
and then, like, I think, like, when I eventually, once my brain had formed more and I knew more things about the world, I was like watching it and I was like, that's hilarious. Like,
yeah.
Also, let's be honest. 4 hours?
Yeah,
we're
4 hours.
We're supposed to believe they're in.
Right, yeah.
That's actually unhealthy to be in a hot tub for 4 hours.
Yeah,
that's
four.
Bad for you.
That is not good for your skin.
No,
yeah.
It is not.
More like 4 minutes.
Abby, have you read the book?
I haven't actually.
Okay, I was just curious. Forgot to ask.
Fake
that
fan.
Earlier.
Fake fan.
I know.
Fake fan. No,
well,
kidding.
And as like a reader, is that actually kind of crazy?
Oh yeah,
that
is
crazy.
Yeah, you should read
how many
it.
Books
yeah.
you read.
I'll put it on my list.
Yep. Are we at the quote tennis time?
No.
Oh,
no.
Dang.
Justin, hold your wad. We have Justin, 30 minutes left. We don't have to
slow
take
down,
all that 30
Savannah.
Minutes. But a few things. What should you pair this movie with?
Yeah.
You can pair it with literally anything within the human experience. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that it should be paired with going and getting like your nails done or like getting a blowout or some kind of self-care activity with
Love
your
it.
Friends. And then you go to a bar and order martinis and have this like really intellectually stimulating conversation about, I don't know, dismantling the patriarchy or something. And that's what pairs well with this movie. It's like girlhood and really deep contemplative thoughts.
I love it. Justin?
I also just said a martini, and I said any kind that you want, but preferably pink colored.
Ooh, yeah.
Or in
like
pink
a
glass.
Cosmo.
That's good.
Yeah, or a Cosmo. Yes, something like that.
I said, so I have a book, The Squad, AOC and the Hope of a Political Revolution.
Ooh.
It's a book by Ryan Grimm. It is a good book that I read. Oh, wait. No, I didn't read it. I listened to it. So for all of the written
you
word
consumed
people
it.
Nick, as the person who speaks for all readers, I'm just kidding. But you read it.
So I didn't
it
read
counts.
It, guys.
It
guys, I didn't read it. So I know nothing about the book. But it's a really good book. I listened to it about a year ago. It's largely about AOC, but it also talks about like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar mm-hmm. and Cori Bush. And while it's not like the courtroom aspect, it is, I don't know, it is girl power in
yeah.
a lovely way and in a way that is, it's a good book. Check it out.
I think a double feature with Barbie would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That works.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
a lot of pink.
A lot of,
a lot of pink. A lot
yeah,
of blonde.
A lot of pink.
Uh-huh.
last thing that I have is Ripley reaction.
Oh,
and.
Yes.
So, Ripley, when I watched this with just Ripley the other day. I was like, I gotta watch this thing. Because I was like, I felt the time ticking. I watched it with Ripley. He was pretty into this movie. I would give it a 6 out of 10 engagement with Ripley, especially at the beginning where you see a lot more Bruiser. He was interested in Bruiser. He also, Elle has a very squeaky voice. And when she would do her, Ripley would be like, huh?
He'd be like, who is that?
Looking at the TV. And then he also would, like, she sometimes wears like chains and things jangle. And Ripley was like, what? What is going on? So
yeah,
he's pretty into this movie.
I love that.
Ripley's like, I get down with this movie.
Uh-huh.
When I was, we're fresh off the Pacers losing the NBA Finals. What I was thinking about this movie was, I was like, this is just like the NBA and the Indiana Pacers story. No one believes in them. Yep. No one believed in the Pacers the whole run.
Yep.
Just like hell.
Right.
And then even when she's accepted to Harvard, even when the Pacers make the NBA Finals, people are like, nah, Pacers can't do it. Nah, Elle can't do it. And I was like, guys, like,
Justin looking for narrative parallels for his Pacers trauma.
Pacers are always there.
He needs to be healed.
Yeah, this healed me.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, just a couple other things. I think we talked about Vivian earlier, but I do feel like I got to give her another honorable mention.
We got to talk about her, true.
Because she... It's really funny just to like see her progression throughout the movie. Be like, wait, again, this goes back to my whole thing about decentering men. She's like, wait, do men suck? Like,
yeah.
I feel like she realizes it like throughout where, because like, even when she comes into Elle's room that first time when she's kind of starting to like warm up to her, she's like, yeah, you know, and like Callahan always has me get his coffee. And then he's like, oh, you know, and Warner doesn't do his laundry or whatever. But like, it's one of those like moments where it just really endears me to her because you can just tell she's like, wait, like, I could actually be really good friends with this girl. And they end up being best friends, which I think is really sweet and awesome. But yeah, I just, it's really funny throughout the movie just to see her be like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
These men.
He said that, wait, do men actually suck? I didn't know that.
Not all men.
Yeah.
But these men in that movie, a lot of them did.
I think if you watch this movie in a certain way, you could really dislike Vivian. But this time around, I had a special place for her.
Totally.
Viewing
her
this.
Friend, on the other hand... I'm glad she just kind of disappeared. I was like,
oh, yeah. Her
I was like, I don't know where she went, but she was giving bad vibes. Yeah. But Vivian, you can tell there's hope for her.
Also, what a quick turnaround engagement for them.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
That
right.
does feel like a very like rich family thing to do, you know?
We all went to Christian college. It was given real Taylor
spring
University vibes there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, guys, what's the
got
rush?
A quick turnaround.
You're going to be in law school for 3 years.
Down.
Yeah. What's the rush, guys?
Yeah,
he's gonna be a senator by the time he's 30, Justin.
He's got to
he's
get serious.
Lock this down.
He needs to be with a Jacqueline, not a Mary.
He's
got to
lock down that housewife who's gonna do his laundry for him.
He needs a Jackie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, we ready?
Sure.
Yep.
Abby, you can go first.
Sorry.
No. Take your time.
There's a lot.
Well, I'm laughing because I said half these quotes throughout the thing. So
no, you can say them again.
We gotta
too.
Get
it's
in.
Fine.
Get it.
Well, the first one is
bring your best theater kid energy.
Well, the first one is. Law school is for people who are boring and ugly and serious, and you, Button, are none of those things.
I'm taking the dog, dumbass.
Yeah.
I once had to judge a Tidy Whitey contest for Lambda Kappa Pi. Trust me, I can handle anything.
What? Like it's hard?
Did you see him? He's probably still scratching his head. Yeah, which must be a nice vacation for his balls.
For his balls.
I'm so glad you did that one.
Whoever said orange was the new pink was seriously disturbed.
Don't stomp your last season Prada shoes at me, honey.
So when you said you would always love me, you were just dicking around?
So what's this Vivian got that you don't have? 3 tits?
That's so good. Hi, I'm Elle Woods and this is Bruiser Woods. We're both Gemini vegetarians.
Yep. I had that one. I've got a package. He's got a package.
So what's the girl to do? He's the guy who followed this pecker to greener pastures. I'm a middle-aged high school dropout with stretch marks and a fat ass. And then Elwoods goes, that's horrible.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
If I'm going to be a partner in a law firm by the time I'm 30, I'm going to need a boyfriend who's not such a complete bonehead.
Yeah.
Bam.
There's nothing I love more than a dumb blonde with daddy's plastic.
Happy people just don't shoot their husbands. They just don't.
What? Are my boobs too big?
Yeah. What is it? Are my boobs are too
big? Yeah, my boobs are too big.
That's a good one.
Oh, I like your outfit too. Except when I dress up as a frigid bitch, I try not to look so constipated.
Yes.
Yep. I feel comfortable using legal jargon in everyday life. I object.
Yes. I love that. That's all I got.
Okay.
But that was a lot.
Couple more I'm going to throw in there.
Yep.
The real good one that's like a hard hitter. I'm never going to be good enough for you, am I?
Yeah. Oh, that quote.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Sorry for what? For breaking my heart? For giving me the greatest pleasure I've ever known and just taking it away?
Yes.
Yes.
David Kidney.
David Kidney. Yep, that's it for me.
All right.
I also just thought the Letterboxd reviews are so good that I'm just going to quickly read a few of them.
Sure.
The what? Like, it's hard line of this film greater than sign the Godfather trilogy. Elle Woods could create Facebook, but Mark Zuckerberg can't bend and snap.
Yes.
Elle Woods' Harvard Law admission video is truly one of Sofia Coppola's greatest works. Yeah, which Coppola did that video?
Right, I know. There's Sofia, there's Francis. Are there any other Coppolas that direct?
No idea.
I'm not the person to ask.
People rating this below 4 stars, why do you hate seeing women succeed?
Yes.
All right,
this is my last thing. Mm-hmm. This is an important story for this movie because Justin knows about this. So yeah. I was kind of dating this guy in high school.
Okay.
And he was kind of pretentious and whatever, you know, we all date.
He had the same last
name
as me.
Whoa.
Let's not drop names here, Justin. I'm just kidding.
Not dropping names. I'm just saying that.
I don't think he's going to ever listen to this. But one of the red flags that I should have seen was he one time asked me, like, what's your favorite movie? And I said, Legally Blonde. And he was like, oh, that's your favorite movie? Like, not even kidding. Like, judgmental out the wazoo. I think he, like, broke up with me, like, 2 weeks after that. And I just remember in the moment feeling like, oh, my gosh. But then I, like, watched it probably, like, the next – probably 2 weeks later after he broke up with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on a second. What the hell? This guy just judged me. He did exactly what they were doing to Elle. Like, it
he
was like one
what
of those
Warner
full
did.
Circle moments. I was like, F you, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my other classic Legally Blonde story.
Yes. Sounds like a
life.
Good lore.
He was. But, you know, it's okay.
Then he married Justin, and he's like, oh, Legally Blonde is your favorite movie?
No. I was like, it's not The Godfather, though. Let me tell you about The Godfather.
No, Justin was very supportive.
Yeah, I also had to pull my guitar out and sang to
That's
her.
That's right, yep. You're
just
Knuff.
Like in Barbie. Enough.
I love it.
Materialist now?
Yeah.
Just a quick chat on
Materialist. Quick chat on the Materialist.
It's new. It's in the culture.
Do you guys ever do this?
Hey, everyone. This is Justin just letting you know that we are entering a spoiler zone. So if you do not want any spoilers, this is your time to leave.
Where you're just like, let's talk
about
this
we have.
Movie? Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
Although, actually, which ones have we talked? We talked about Friendship, and that one was on the Jerry Maguire one. So that one's... The other one we talked about was Mission Impossible,
which was
8, but that was a trial run that we didn't release.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll have to talk about that one at some point, but not do an episode on it. I don't think it's worthy of an episode.
Sure. Yeah. I brought it up. I brought this to our conversation because I really liked it, and we all liked it in different ways, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's from one of my favorite current, like, up-and-coming director, Celine Song, who does good
she's
stuff.
Here. She's not up-and-coming. She's here.
Well, she's here, but she only has 2 features so far, so it's not like she's, like, got this whole catalog. But no, I agree. She's here. She has Past Lives. She has this now.
Yeah.
And this one was a surprise banger for me where I didn't think going in that I was going to love it as much as I did. But
You really did.
I know. And, like, it's funny because all the women in my life are like, yeah, it was pretty good. Like, it wasn't my favorite, though. And the men in my life are like, that was awesome.
Which is really interesting. Abby, what are your thoughts on the movie? Just, like, what did you like? What did you not like?
Yeah. I feel so complicated about this movie because there were things about it, that I enjoyed. Like, I really did like the feel and the, like, the visual aspect of the movie. Like, it was really beautiful, and like I really liked that there wasn't like stupid dialogue that didn't need to be there. Like, there was a lot of slow pauses and lots of, like, which according to Justin, like, that's kind of her vibe, it seems like, maybe in movies.
Past
Lives
definitely
kind of
has
that
well.
Too
for sure.
I need to see Past Lives, but
it's amazing.
Yeah, I think I feel like I'll like that one probably more. I don't know why.
No, I think I just, you will.
Yeah.
I like Past Lives more. And I like
I
this
too.
Movie quite a bit.
But. Yeah, yeah. So, but I think what, like, so I liked that aspect. I obviously, like, I am a huge romance reader. I love romance. I love mm-hmm. anything like that. So, like, there were certainly aspects about the fact that, like, she is, there's kind of this, like, second chance romance trope with Chris Evans' character. Mm-hmm. And I like that. But I think, like, first of all, the marketing for this movie felt really off of what the actual movie was about. And I don't know, yeah. like...
It's one of the main problems with it.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I get it. Not every movie can have, like, this long list of trigger warnings or things that are in the movie. At the same time, I do think you can be a little bit more mindful about how you're marketing the movie, because a really large plot point of this movie is, like, sexual abuse and, like, and assault. And so, like, I think, like... For people who weren't expecting that, I've heard a lot of, like, feedback from people that are like, whoa, that was a lot, and I just didn't know that was going to be, like, kind of a main point of the movie. It is off-screen, and it's not to any of the main three characters, but, like, it's still a pretty big point. So it's not that
and
I
you
didn't...
see the emotions from the woman who experiences it, and that yes. could definitely be hard for some people.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not that I didn't like that they talked about that. Like, I really – I think that was an important aspect to what's her name? The main character's name.
Oh, Dakota Johnson's
Dakota
character?
Johnson, yes.
Lucy.
Yes,
Lucy.
That was a really important part of Lucy's, like, development as a character and her growth. Yeah. But it's just, like, I think the marketing could have been better. And then, of course, like, there is some part of me that's, like, I don't agree with the people that are, like, this is, like, broke boy propaganda. I don't think that it's so broke boy propaganda. I do think, though, like, there is part of me that's, like, man, like, Pedro Pascal, like, wasn't a bad guy.
Okay.
No, he never does anything bad.
So I really liked the movie, and I have thoughts on that because in watching the movie, I was, like, I don't know how convinced I am that you're not in love with / couldn't be in love with this guy.
Right.
But here's why I almost kind of like that, is that it's super interior to her character. Like, the reasons that she gives, I don't even think make that much sense. But, like, I don't know, just, like, going through breakups, a lot of times things don't make sense.
Yeah.
But it makes sense to the person who is making the decision.
Yep.
And I think with her, a lot of that is interior, which may be giving a lot of the benefit of the doubt to the movie. But I think that that's the thing that I've landed on with it, is I'm like, okay, there's that. But I do think there's something too, like, well, Pedro Pascal's character is awesome. And, like, life would be a lot easier in a lot of ways. And that easy does not equate to love.
No.
But yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't. But he did, like, appreciate about her that, like, he was, like, told her, like, I don't need, like, the material, like, I don't need you to, like, meet some expectation for me. And I feel like, you know, I don't know. It's just – and the whole leg surgery thing – oh, shit, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, that's okay. I'm gonna jump in on a spoiler thing before this piece.
Good. Yeah, so the whole leg surgery thing I thought was, like, a cop-out to, like, get people to feel, like, the ick towards him. Like, I think they wanted to, like, be like, okay, get the ick so that she can, like, go back to Chris Evans and it's, like, chill. And I mean, it did kind of, it is a little bit of a weird thing. So you're like, okay, that was kind of strange. But yeah, so, like, it was funny because when we saw it with Tyler and Madison, and when we were leaving, like, Madison and I were both like, what in the world? She could have just had it all. She could have literally not worried about money.
Madison was getting so upset
life.
Next to me when every time she chose Chris Evans at the end, she, like, would throw her arms up in the air being like, you're choosing Chris Evans? Seriously?
It was funny because Tyler and Justin are like, oh, they chose Chris Evans. And Madison and I were like, what? Like, I don't actually mind that she ended up with Chris Evans, because I do think Chris Evans stepped up. Like, I do think he realized too, like his line about, like, I also, like, am realizing, like, I want to be happy. I'm putting myself through this, like, shitty life, honestly, of, like, bearing through it just because, like, I'm trying to achieve something. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, at least he kind of, like, owned up. It wasn't like he was like, well, great, you're going to take care of me now, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't think that was the vibe, so.
No.
So, yeah. Anyways.
I was thinking, I don't remember exactly their dialogue at this point in the movie because we've only seen it once, but I was thinking back to when Pedro is dating Lucy. I forget his real name in the movie. But when they're dating and they are getting together and she's basically like, why do you want me? And a lot of his language was to the name of the movie, Materialist, like, just like, you're exactly what I'm looking for. Like, it's almost the, it is part of who she is too, but it does not feel all centered on love. It more so was like, you fit my life perfectly, and you're what I'm looking for to, like, make my life better. And I don't know. That's the vibe I got. So I don't know. But
I think there's something to that. And this movie feels in a lot of ways like an episode of Freakonomics in the sense of not that it breaks everything down to money. It breaks some of it down to money, not all.
Yeah.
But it also does this thing where it's like it thinks about it in a cost benefit way.
Yep.
And I think that's really interesting because I think that Lucy, in the way that she looks at dating especially, is like, a lot of the stuff she's saying is very unsexy. It's like the most unsexy way to look at dating and marriage, but it is a legitimate way to look at dating and marriage in a lot of ways, I think. And it's not the only lens, and in fact, it absolutely shouldn't be the only lens, and I think that's part of the point of the movie. But I do think that's really interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I also like, okay, so you know, I was upset at the end when Chris Evans brings her a flower and puts it on her finger. I was like, dude, we just talked about this.
Is it implied that he gets a ring or not?
I don't know. But that, so it bothered me at first, but I will say, like, looking back, kind of full circle of the movie, which whatever, the caveman put it on the cavewoman's finger. Okay.
What are your thoughts on the caveman?
Okay, guys, legit, when I first saw this movie the first time, because I did see it before I saw it with you guys the first, yeah. And I thought that they looked AI generated. And I know they were. I'm sure. I know they weren't. But when I first saw it, I was like, is this AI? For like 2 seconds. Huh. And then once like they started, like, it showed more, like, I was like, okay, these are real people. This is not AI. But like, it was just really throwing me off. Like, I was like, what's happening? I know that's why they did the flower thing at the end. Like, you know, whatever. Again, full circle. But yeah, that part was a little tough for me.
I really liked the caveman part, and I talked to Justin about this, I think, a little bit, and I also talked to another friend about it, and they both were kind of like, correct me if I'm wrong, you're like, oh, really? Like, I'm kind of surprised you like that part.
Yeah.
And here's, honestly, this is where I just have to be real with myself and say, I think that because it's Celine's song and I love Past Lives so much, she has such, like I just trust that I'm in good hands with her, and I'm willing to tolerate more. Whereas there are certain directors where I think if the movie would have started and ended like this, I'd be like, this is stupid. I hate this.
Yeah.
It's dumb. Okay, people getting married.
The first people to be married.
Yeah, oh, wow. Isn't that so deep?
The name you threw out there was, if Ari Aster did this, you'd be done with it.
Hey. I don't know.
You're kind of... may or may not have said that.
But there are certain directors who I'm like, I just wouldn't give them that slack, and that's more of a bash on me than it is on the movie and on the director, because I think ideally when you're going into any movie, book, whatever, you should try to give the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not always good at that.
Yeah. I agree with what you said, and also I could be just fine without the cave man and woman in this movie.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Last thing on it is, for me, is John to Lucy at the end of the movie where he says, I'll be your certainty. Yeah.
You like that?
I love that. And I think that Celine's song, both movies that she's made, and this is a very key element of Jerry Maguire as well, is fidelity in relationships and in being consistent and pouring into relationships with your partner. And I think that that's really beautiful. And oftentimes in romance movies, undervalued. Just like the fidelity in sticking to another person in that, like, I will be your certainty, because he tells her all the things he can't do for her. Mm-hmm. He's like, here's what I can do. And I just think that's lovely.
Yes, I agree with that. Like, and I am a big, like, second chance romance person. I love, like, the idea of, like, we struggled, we went through it, and we came back together stronger than ever. You know, like, I really do like that. And I think that she portrayed that so well in the story. Like, even just him knowing she loves Coke and beer, knowing when the whole situation with Sophie happened, like, he knew something was off. Like, there is something to that. That is the stuff I liked about that movie, is, like, to be known is by someone to that level, like, is the best thing ever. Like, when someone can tell you're off just by, like, when you walk into a room, you know? And, like, that's, I just love that shit. So, I ate that up for sure.
I think that's probably why their dialogue scenes were very, pausey and there's a lot of unspoken chemistry between them and understanding.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
So yeah, I liked it.
Oh, also the score is amazing.
Score is great. It looks good.
Daniel Pemberton, he did both. He worked on both Spider-Verse movies score-wise. Which
that's fun.
That's
makes
really
sense
because cool.
Those ones are banging as well.
Yeah, 100%.
It's also funnier than I thought it was going to be. People were like, this is not a rom-com. And it's not, but it's definitely funnier than I was expecting with that in my head going in.
Okay, yeah.
I wouldn't say it is a rom-com. I'm just saying there's some funnier, there's some funny moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Show Me the Movies and our discussion on Legally Blonde. Email us at themoviesshowme@gmail.com with any questions or comments. And remember to follow us on Blue Sky and Instagram. We will see you next time.
And always remember, happy people just don't shoot their husbands. They just don't.